service for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, August the 17th, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work, and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A sermon text now from Hebrews chapter 11 and going into chapter 12. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. A sermon now entitled, Running with Perseverance. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Something that seems out of place in the image of the crucified man contained on the Shroud of Turin is that in spite of the extreme agony that the man obviously endured, there is upon his face an expression of joy. It radiates as though he has accomplished something that is very worthwhile and satisfying, even though it was far from easy. After all, what's worthwhile that ever comes easy? I can't think of anything. If you want to be good at something, then you have to practice, practice, practice. If you want to make something great, then you have to pour into it your time and skill. Chances are, if it was easy, you may not have done it right. And yet we like easy. We wish that having an easy button was a real thing. But nothing worthwhile comes apart from effort. We have to endure for the long haul if we intend to achieve our goals. And friends, this is true when it comes to our salvation. It's one thing to have begun in the faith, but it is something else to remain in the faith and to at last finish in the faith. It's going to take endurance and perseverance. perseverance. Here we can consider the ancient people of faith of whom the author of Hebrews reminds us in today's text. He spoke about Abraham. He and Sarah waited patiently for their son Isaac to be at last born. But that wasn't the end of their testing. God asked him to offer up his son. Faithfully, Abraham went through with it, at least up until the last moment. How was he able to do so? We are told. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham was stopped in time, and a ram took Isaac's place instead. Even that wasn't the end of Abraham's trials, but he endured faithfully to the end. He was not always perfect, nor would his descendants be, but they endured in the faith through various struggles. We are next told about Moses, who refused his privilege as Pharaoh's grandson, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He gave it all up, unafraid of the consequences for doing so. It says that he considered the reproach of Christ of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. His faith enabled him to do this, and to keep doing all that he did, focused upon the end. Yes, in our text, Abraham, Moses, together with others like Isaac, Joseph, many of the people of Israel, and even a former prostitute named Rahab, are held out as examples of faithfulness. Though it wasn't easy, they nonetheless faithfully and joyfully persisted until the end. Our text tells out these former saints who endured various struggles and tests, remaining steadfast and immovable, because they are excellent examples of faithfulness for both you and for me. The author states, "All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised." Well, at least not in this life. You see, ultimately it says, God had provided something better. And this is our case too. St. Paul admits in 1 Corinthians 15 that if in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But we, like the saints before us, have in view what lies ahead. We are looking to our eternal reward. Like somebody wanting to achieve something great, we have to keep focused and keep pushing forward. We can't let up, give up, or go back. Instead, we are to press on. In this respect, we are to be like a runner who runs his race with perseverance. The author of our text goes on to speak about that also. He instructs, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It's going to take persistence to finish the course, and for most of us, it's a long-distance race. And what makes it hard is that we run weighted down with sin. In addition, temptations to sin lurk along the path. Indeed, we go forward with sinful natures, and this is the part of us that wants to stop and indulge in this vice or in that distraction. After all, they look enticing and inviting, not to mention a lot easier than faithfully going forward. On top of that, our sinful natures like to hold on to things that weigh us down. These can take the form of resentments. Yes, we have a tendency to take the baggage of past grievances along with us, holding on tightly to unforgiveness towards others. This too can disqualify us from the races we are running. Failing to finish our races comes with a devastating reality. We will have forfeited salvation. Earlier, the author of our text had asked, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" We will face the judgment apart from the grace of Christ that comes by faith. And this is where we need some help. And our text today tells us that the one place from which we receive this help is the cheers of the faithful departed who have gone before us and who are now with the Lord. Our text says that we are surrounded by them and that they are for us a great cloud of witnesses. True, they are hidden from our sight, but nonetheless they are rooting us on in our races. They want us to one day join them where they are, confirmed in glory and waiting for the rest of us prior to the great day of resurrection. Having them cheering us on, helps us go forward. And what also helps us along with being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and with laying aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, that we may run with endurance the race set before us, is looking to Jesus. You see, Jesus had things in common with Isaac, whom his father took to a certain mountain to be sacrificed. Jesus is the only son of his father. He carried the wood of the cross to the top of a certain mountain. But instead of being spared at the last, as Isaac was, Jesus was sacrificed, like that ram whose horns had been caught in a thicket of thorns. Yes, Jesus endured what was considered a shameful death by being hung on the tree of Mount Calvary. His blood was both holy and innocent, and so it was a great miscarriage of justice that happened that Friday. However, it wasn't for nothing that Jesus died. Jesus was thereby doing something. Just what was Jesus accomplishing there on the cross? Well, our text tells us that he was both founding and perfecting our faith. In other words, he was making it possible for you and me to be considered perfect before God by faith. Our text speaks of how Jesus despised the shame of the cross, that he might save all who trust in him. Furthermore, our text makes it clear that he was glad to endure the abuse he underwent for us. It says, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame." And this is a detail that I earlier mentioned seems to be borne out by the image of the man on the Shroud of Turin. For even though he died in agony, his face nonetheless seems to have a joy-filled expression. Jesus had reason to be joyful. His endurance of the race set before him, in which he too was being cheered on by the cloud of witnesses, was completed successfully, and this we know because he rose from the dead. More than 500 eyewitnesses saw him alive again for themselves over the next 40 days. After that, our text teaches how he now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the place from whence he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. Now, the point of our text, together with today's sermon, is this. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Yes, go ahead and remember the examples of faithful Abraham, Moses, and even Rahab. Remember also that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who finished their course in faith and now cheer us on. But most importantly, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the goal of our faith. The day will arrive either when we die or he returns, whichever is first, and we at last run into his open arms and rest. To be clear, the path of faith won't be easy. Sin will seek to cling to us and weigh us down. But with the help of the Lord, strengthened as we are today by word and sacrament, and surrounded by the angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven, we can run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.